Today's shiur is Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Samachay. We will begin on Daf Samachay Amud Aleph, right at top of the Amud at the Mishnah. Our Mishnah begins to discuss about Oiv and Hayidoini. As the Torah says, Oyim Tzbecha Chay V'chever V'shoil Oiv Yidoini. The Torah tells us Alav Al Tifnu Ela Oiv Yisrael Hayidoinim. And our Mishnah now begins. Our Mishnah, our Gemara, will discuss what and who are the Balei Oiv and Yidoini. Balei Oiv, says the Mishnah, is ze pitoim hamadabim mistoich sechyoi. This is somebody who communicates with somebody who's no longer alive by bringing up the spirit of the person who passed away and having that spirit speak from the armpits of this individual who brought up his spirit. We're going to see in Mirtz Hashem in the Gemara that the Gemara identifies that there's another type of a Baal Oiv. The Gemara says that there's a Baal Oiv who has the skull of a dead person in front of him and causes that skull to speak. Yudaini Zadam Bepiv. A Yudaini is somebody who takes the bone of a Yudua. Machloikis, if a Yudua is a chaya or a bird, and puts that bone into his mouth, and by taking that bone, it causes a voice to come out. Such individuals, says the Mishnah, Hare Elu B'Skila. Anybody who practices Oiv Yudaini, Rachman Slan, is Chayiv Skila. V'Nishal Bahem, if somebody approaches them with a question, Baz Hara is Oiv Alav. The Mefarshim asked the obvious question that the Mishnah should not have used the word Vanishal. The Mishnah should have used the word Hashoyal. So the Tveras Yisrael says that the reason the Mishnah uses the word Nishal is because the Pasuk says, like Silmad Lasses Kitoy Avis Hagoyim Hohem. So since this is in line with the wording of the Pasuk, that's why the Mishnah used the word Nishal. Another pshat is that the practice was that they would approach the person who did Oiv Yudaini, and he would ask them, why are you approaching me? What question do you have? And therefore he's considered a Nishal. Another pshat that I saw is that only in a situation where the person who asked for whatever advice he asked was told that was given an answer, then and only then is it considered a situation of Oiv Yudaini. So Nishal, he had to receive an answer, and then it's a situation of Oiv Yudaini, and that's why the Mishnah uses the word Nishal. Ask the Gemara, Mishnah Hachad, why in our Mishnah does our Mishnah speak both about a Baal Oiv and Yudaini? Mishnah Gabi Krisis, why in the first Mishnah if Krisis does the Mishnah mention a Tani Baal Oiv? The Mishnah mentions a Baal Oiv and the Shairi led Yudaini and doesn't mention Yudaini. So Gemara has two approaches in answering this question. Rabbi Yochanan's answer is Hoyel v'shneim b'lav echad namru, since they're both part of the same lav, and therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is, were someone to do both Oiv and Yudaini, behelam echad, in one act of not being aware that it's an aveira, he would only be chayiv one karban chatas. That's why the Mishnah only mentions Oiv, to teach us that you can't be chayiv two karban chatas if you did Oiv and Yudaini, behelam echad. Rish Lakish gives a different answer. Rish Lakish says, Yudaini, the reason Yudaini is omitted from the Mishnah Masech Tekrisis, Lefish Ein B'Maisa. The Mishnah Masech Tekrisis is teaching us the situations when somebody is Chayiv Chatos, and there is no Chayiv Chatos in such circumstances because it's a Lav Shem B'Maisa. And as the Mefarshim explained, Yudaini, even though there is an act of putting the bone into the mouth, as we discussed when we learned the Mishnah, that is only a preparatory act. It's not the actual act of Yudaini. Whereas by Oif, apparently, they had to continuously clap the hands to keep the spirit of the person who's no longer here speaking. And that's why Oiv is considered a lav shiesh by Maisa, for which there is a karm chatos, whereas Yudoini is not considered a lav shiesh by Maisa. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Maishna bal Oiv denokit, why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the reason the Mishnah Masech decreases only mentions Oiv is because you only have one karm chatos if you did Oiv and Yudoini behelam echad? Ask the Gemara, so why did the Mishnah choose to mention Oy? Why did the Mishnah Masech Tekrisis choose to mention Oy more than chose to mention Yudaini? Answers the Gemara, Mishnah the Pasuk Beikra. Because the Pasuk begins first mentioning Oy and then Yudaini. So we're going to only mention one. The Mishnah is only going to mention the one that's mentioned in the Pasuk first, which is Oy. Atifno el Oy Vesvel Yudaini. Rish Lakish. So now ask the Gemara, why my time layam Rabbi Yochanan? Why doesn't Rish Lakish agree to Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of the Mishnah in Masech Tekrisis? Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa Chalukin Hayim B'Misa. Since we find that the Torah clearly separates that Oiv and Yedoini have two separate Chiyuv B'Misa, because the Torah says V'isha Isha Kiyiv Bem Oiv O Yedoini Mois Shimusu. Be'evin yigmoisam the main bomb. So the Torah says Oiv Yudaini. So says Rish Lakish, if the Torah separated Oiv and Yudaini as far as Chiyuv Misa is concerned, so too are they to be considered separated as far as the Kiyuv Karban Chatas is concerned. And so how does Rabbi Yochanan defend himself? Rabbi Yochanan says Chaluka delav Shma Chaluka. The Mitzvah Shema Chalukah. If indeed we would have found them separated regarding the Karm Chiyuv Chatas, that would be a clear indication, or as far as the Lav is concerned, that would be a clear indication that if somebody did Oiv and Yedoini Behelim Echad, he's only Chayiv one Karm Chatas. However, says Rabbi Yochanan, just because the Torah, as we just quoted the Pasuk, separates them into two separate subjects as far as Misa is concerned, does not indicate in any way that they have separate chiyuvim for karban chatas. And in fact, says Rabbi Yochanan, that the din is that if you did both of them behelam echad, you're only going to be chayiv one karban chatas. Now ask the Gemara the other way. Rabbi Yochanan, my tam lo mikra Rish Lakish. Why doesn't he agree with Rish Lakish? That Rish Lakish says the reason why Yedoini is not mentioned is because Yedoini is a lav shein b'maisa, and for a lav shein b'maisa, there is no chiyuv chatas. Amalach responds Rabbi Yochanan, Masnisin the krisis Rabbi Kiva hi. The Mishnah Masech the krisis follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, Damalai bein a maisa, that says that even for a lav shein b'maisa, there's a chiyuv karm chatas. So the fact that Yedoini is a lav shein b'maisa would not exempt it, according to that Mishnah, from the chiyuv karm chatas. Rish Lakish, and how does Rish Lakish explain? Ned the loy boy Rabbi Kiva Maisa Rabba. Yes, Rabbi Kiva will agree that a major Maisa is not required for there to be a Chiyuv Chatas. Maisa Zuta Boy, he does require some sort of minor action. And he's saying, Rish Lakish is saying, Yedoini is not even a Maisa Zuta, it's not even a minor action, and that's why there's no Chiyuv Karm Chatas. So the Gemara stops to understand this. Megadif. The summary Rachman Slon is Mekalal as Hashem. My Maisika. What is the action for which does a Kiev Chatis? Akimus Svasov have a Maisa. The moving of the lips, according to Rekiva, is considered the Maisa. And in fact, I saw that the Sefer Maor V'Shemesh suggests that if we see here that Akimus Svasov for doing an Aveira is considered a Maisa. We know, and we're actually going to have it later in our shir, that Mida Toiva is Meruba Mida Pranius. So certainly, one moving his mouth in davening, one moving his mouth in learning Torah, certainly is considered a very significant act with very positive consequences. Bal Oif, continues the Gemara, my ma'isika, what is the action involved by a Baal Oif, as we said before? Hakosha's roisof have a ma'isa. The Baal Oif would clap his hands to bring up the spirit. And the Gemara goes further. Vafil Rabbonim, is this true that even the Rabbonim, who normally hold that for a lav sheish by ma'isa, to be chayiv chatos, you have to have a lav sheish by ma'isa, that you have to have an act? V'tanya, but we learned in the Braisa, eino chayiv, that according to the opinion of Rabbonim, what is not chayiv if somebody was over avodah zarah b'shogig, he's not chayiv a korban chatos, ela adav sheish by ma'isa, only if what he did involved an act. Kegoin zibuach, he slaughtered, kitur, he offered, he burned something, nisach pouring, v'shtachavam, bowing down. Vom Rish Lakish. And Rish Lakish said, as that braisa was stated, man tan shtachavah, who is the tan of that braisa that holds that just for bowing down there's a chi of karban chatos? Said Rish Lakish, Rabbi Kiva hi. It reflects the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, dam aloi bein a maisa, that to be chi of karban chatos, a maisa is not required. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan disagreed, and he said, a feel tame Rabbanan, we could say that it follows the opinion of the Rabbanan, because one can argue, says Rabbi Yochanan, that kfifas kamasoi, bowing down one's entire body, even the Rabbanan will agree, have a maisa is considered a maisa. Now, says the Gemara, hashtag Rish Lakish, if it is the opinion of Rish Lakish, that kfifas kamasoi have a maisa, that bowing down is not considered an act, Hakosh's royas of the Baal Oiv have a Maisa, then is clapping the hands of an Oiv yes a Maisa? If according to Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish obviously has a higher standard of what he considers a Maisa, and therefore he said that according to Rabbanan, just bowing down Rachman Lutzlan to an Avodah Zarah is not considered a Maisa. So could Rish Lakish then suggest that clapping the hands for Baal Oiv is a Maisa? Answers the Gemara, Ki kam Rish Lakish nami, when Rish Lakish said that clapping the hands by a Baal Oiv is considered a Maisa, he was saying it l'Rabbi Kiva, according to the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. But indeed, Rish Lakish will agree, Avul Rabbanon Loi, Rish Lakish will agree that according to Rabbanon, that is not considered a Maisa, and according to Rabbanon, there won't be a Chiv kam Chatus for Oiv. Ask the Gemara, if according to Rish Lakish, a Baal Oiv is considered a lav she'ein by Maisa, and therefore there's no chiyuv chatos, so then when the Mishnah in Masechta Krisis quotes the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, of the Rabbanan, and say that whereas according to Rabbi Kiva, as we learned earlier, a Megadif is chayiv a karban chatos, says the Mishnah, the Rabbanon, because according to Rabbi Kiva, one is chayiv a karban chatos even for lav shein by ma'isa, say the Rabbanon, we disagree with Rabbi Kiva, and we hold that a Megadif is not chayiv a karban chatos, because a Megadif is a lav shein by ma'isa. But ask the Gemara, if according to Rish Lakish, the Rabbanon will also say that a Baal Oiv is not chayiv a karban chatos, so why in the Mishnah Masechta Krisis doesn't it say Yotz Megadif Ubal Oy Meboilei? The Mishnah should have said that the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Kiva not only by a Megadif, but they also disagree with Rabbanon with Rabbi Kiva by a Baal Oy. El Uma Ula says Ula that what type of Baal Oy is referred to in the Mishnah Masechta Krisis is referring to somebody who's Mekata L'Sheid. He brings Tyrus to a shade, that even the Rabbanon will agree is considered a Maisa, and therefore that even the Rabbanon will agree is a lav sheyesh by Maisa for which there's a chiv karban chatos, and therefore regarding the Baal Oiv, there is no dispute between Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanon. Ask the Gemara, Amle Rava, Mekata L'Sheid, somebody who's Mekata to a shade, Oivet Avodah Kachavim Hu, he's in the category of an Oivet Avodah Zarah, who's already listed in the Mishnah. That can't be a Baal Oiv. Ella, Amar Rava. What is the definition of Baal Oiv in the Mishnah Masechta Krisis? Mekata lechever. He tries to bring together shadim. Amalei Abaya asks Abaya, there's another pasuk of lo yimatz b'cha chayver chever. So chayver chever is not a Baal Oiv. So how can we say that Baal Oiv in the Mishnah Masechta Krisis means somebody who's mekata lechever? In answers Rava, v'atayra omra chayver zebeskila. Somebody who brings together these shadim, if he does it b'mezid, he's chayiv skila. If he does it b'shogig, he's chayiv a carbon chattis. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, chay v'chever. There is a chay v'chever, however, that's only a chayiv lav. Which chay v'chever is that? Echad chever gadol, v'echad chever katan. Whether he brings together big animals, explains Rashi, or whether he brings together small animals. Afilu nechashim v'akravim. Even he brings together nechashim v'akravim, he is in the category of a chay v'chever for which there's a chayiv lav. Amr Abaya, Hilkach, Haiman that Tzomet Zibur Vakrava, if somebody brings together a snake and a scorpion, Avagav Dukam Deloy Lesku, even if his intent is that they shouldn't cause harm, Usr, it's still Usr, because it's in the category of Chay V'chever. However, points out Rashi, that's only in a situation where they aren't chasing after him. But in a situation where they're chasing after him, then certainly one could do whatever is required to get these snakes away from him. Ask the Mefarshim, that's obvious. What does Rashi have to say to us? Answers the Moritz Chayes, that we would think that since it's a situation of Sakonis Nefoshis, since this may be in the category, I'm sorry, of Avodah Zorah, for which we know that our law about Avodah Zorah is Yaharig Val Yaver, so we would think that even if a snake is chasing him, he should not be allowed to do Chay V'chever. That's why Rashi and the Gemara are teaching us that that is still permissible. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Mashna Kfifas Kamasal Rabbanan Hava Maisa. Why does Rabbi Yochanan hold that Hashtachavot Avodah Zorah is considered a Maisa for which there is a Chiyuv Chatas? Yet he holds Akima Svasov, if somebody is Mekalos Hashem, there is no Chiyuv Chatas according to Rabbanan Lo Hava Maisa. In other words, the Gemara's question is, why is Akima Svasov more of a Maisa than Hashtachavot? Answers Rava, Shani Megadif, Hoil v'yeshna belev. The main part of Megadif really is in one's heart, not in one's action. And therefore, a Megadif is considered a lav she'en b'maisa versus hishtachava, which is considered a lav she'yesh b'maisa. Ask the Gemara, Masa Reb Zera, the Braisa says, Yotza Edom Zomimim, that Edom Zomimim are not mechuyiv or karm chattas, Shem b'maisa, because there is no act involved in Edom Zomim, it's only talk. Ask the Gemara, v'mai, according to the way we're learning, halesna b'lev, the way we're understanding now is as follows. Rabbi Yochanan truly agrees that Akima Sfosov, that just talking, is really considered a maisa. So Rabbi Yochanan says, the Mevorach Es Hashem is an exception to that rule, because Mevorach Es Hashem takes place in the heart. So obviously what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that in a situation where there is Akimas Fasayim, where there is speaking, and it's not taking place mainly in the heart, Rabbi Yochanan will agree that that's considered a Maisa. So if so, ask the Gemara, Eid Mezayim, which takes place by speaking. And it isn't something that really takes place in the heart, that loch ought to be that by Edom Zomimim there's a chiyuv chatos. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav, Shani Edom Zomimim, however yesh number call. The whole point of Edom Zomimim is just sounding one's voice. In other words, it's not the movement, explained the Rishonim and the Achronim, of the lips that caused the Chiyuv. It's the voice that we hear that causes the Chiyuv. And since a voice is something intangible, that's why Eidim Zayim is considered a Lav She'em B'Maisa. Ask the Gemara, V'kol Rav Yochanan Lav Maisa Hu? Does Rav Yochanan hold that just a voice is not considered an act? V'itmar Chosm V'kol. The Torah says, L'Sachsum Shor B'Dishoy, that we have no right to muzzle an animal as it's threshing. So the halach is, let's say an animal is threshing, and someone doesn't want the animal to eat from that produce, so he screams, he gives a yell that frightens the animal and it doesn't eat. Or when higo b'kol, if we have two different animals that are connected to a plow, and somebody gives a yell, and that causes them to move and walk together, that's considered a higo b'kol. Rav Yochanan Amachayiv, Rav Yochanan considered an act for which there's a chiyuv chatas, a chiyuv malchus, I mean. Rish Lakish Amos Potter. So we see that according to Rabbi Yochanan, kol is considered a maisa. And the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yochanan Machayiv, because a kimas per giving this kol have a maisa, and therefore you'll be chay bechasima or for klayim. So you see that clearly Akimas Piv is a Maisa. So we're back to our original question, why are Edom Zoymimim not Chayiv Akar Mechatis? Shouldn't it be considered a Lav Shiesh by Maisa? Ela Merava Shani Edom Zoymimim Hoyal V'yesh Tambriya. Edom Zoymimim come through seeing, which of course at first glance is a very difficult Gemara to understand, because Edom Zoymimim don't come Berea. It doesn't come based on what you see. They actually didn't see anything. They're lying. So how do we understand this Girsa? So I sort of Dibris Moshe explains Rashi's opinion that of course these Edom didn't see anything. But had they seen Edus, Edom Zayim is part of the Parsha of Edus, and the whole point of Edus is Ria. So even though these particular Edom didn't see anything, they're Edom Zomim, they're lying, they're considered in the category of Ria, not Dibur. The Rif quotes a Girsa for Rabbeinu Haigoin that doesn't have Hoyal V'yeshna B'Ria, but his Girsa is Hoyal V'yeshna B'Ia Beis Alav Yod Hei, which means, as going back to Gemara that we actually learned, that if one aid says testimony and another aid just nods and says, yes, I agree to the testimony he said, it's considered aidus. Now this second aid didn't say anything. So we see that speaking is not a crucial element in Haggadah's aidus. A third pshat is the pshat of the Rishash. That the Rishash suggests that we see under certain circumstances that there is no requirement for Haggadah's aidus. Because Allah is, says the Rishash, we've discussed this Allah, is that a Bezdin themselves saw the act that's under question, the Allah is that it's considered an Edus, even though no oral testimony was offered. So we see that it's the Ria that counts, not the Dibur. There's an interesting question that actually Rabbeinu Tam discusses in the Masechta Yevamos, and says that Edom could be qualified and can say their testimony through writing. So ask the Sefer Urim V'Tumim if Rabbeinu Tam is correct that Edus could be offered through writing. Certainly that should be a proof that Edom is something that involves act. Everybody will agree that writing is an action. And in fact, based on this question, the Urim V'Tumim says that perhaps Rabbeinu Tam is incorrect, because otherwise our Gemara is very difficult to understand how our Gemara could suggest that Edom Zoymimim is a Lav She'ein by Maisa. Miches Chinuch says that that is part of the Gemara's Teretz. Part of the Gemara's Teretz is that Hoyal V'yeshna B'Riyah, that since the main part of Edus is based on what they saw, and seeing obviously is not considered something that's a Lav She'esh by Maisa, even though they could offer their testimony by writing, that doesn't change the fact that the main component of the Edus is the Ria, which is aimed by Maisa. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan Baal Oiv Zeh Medav Ben Aprokim. As we learned earlier, the Baal Oiv speaks from his joints. Umeina tzila yadav, from his armpits. Yadoni, zemeneach etzim yadu befiv, that is somebody who takes the bone of the yadua and puts it in his mouth. Vumudava me'elav, and he speaks by itself. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Yishayahu, V'hoyuk oiv me'eretz kailach, the Pasuk says, the Navi is saying, Musa the Klai Yisrael, that if Klai Yisrael won't do tshuva, their voice will become faint, like the voice of an oiv that comes from the ground. My love, the Mishtai Karchi. So we see that the voice of the dead person speaks from the ground. Says the Gemara, what it means is loy, the soul of Vyas ben Aprakim, the voice goes between the joints of a person, and speaks from there. Tashma, there's another pasuk in Shmuel. The pasuk in Shmuel discusses that before Shaul went to war with the Plishtim, he consulted a Balas Oiv that he asked her to bring up the spirit of Shmuel, and ask him what will happen in the war. My love, and the pasuk says that when she brought up Shmuel's spirit, he looked like a malach. V'tayme isha shol alakim re'isi oylem and arts. I saw a malach. So we see that he was coming up from the ground. My love, the mishtoi ka'archi, doesn't mean that he came up regularly, not going into one of the joints of the balas. Oif, says my loy. Again, the means, the Yosef ben Aprakim, what happened was, he went between one of the joints, umishtoi, and from there he spoke. Tan Rabbanan, says the Brice, the Baal Oiv, what happens by Baal Oiv? Echad Amal Bezuchuroi, somebody who brings up the spirit on his Zachris. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos disagrees, because Tosfos says that if that's the definition of Maal Bezuchuroi, then we just learned a moment ago that about the story of Shaul and the Balas Oiv. Now the Balas Oiv was a female, so how could it be that she brought it up on the Zachris? So therefore Tosfos has the definition of Zachris that it's some sort of a shame, that was the shame that was used to bring up the spirit. Somebody who consults a skull, as I said when we learned the Mishnah, there's a skull, and he brings up the spirit of the dead person from that skull. Ma ben zelaze, asked the Brice, so what's the difference between these two types of Baal Oif? Ma'al b'zuchuroi, ena oyla kadarkoi, somebody comes with zuchuroi, the dead person doesn't come up head first, it comes up feet first. Ve'ena oyla b'shabbos, and it doesn't come up b'shabbos. And the way the Mefarshim explained the reason is, because the way the person who brings up the Baal Oiv brings up the spirit that way is by trying to get the body, the spirit, to believe that he's being called again for Din V'Cheshbon. Actually, from here we see that there isn't only Din V'Cheshbon. When a person passes away from the world, there's Din V'Cheshbon again and again. However, that's how, and therefore, since, as we're going to learn, on Shabbos, there is no Din V'Cheshbon in the Beis Din Shemala, so there's no way to fool this Neshama that he should come up. However, Nisha B'Gagoylus, if it's done through asking the skull, Oyla Kedaka, he comes up head first, for Oyla B'Shabbos, and he comes up on Shabbos. Oyla, ask the Gemara, it says that the skull comes up. Ask the Gemara, L'Heche Solak, where is it coming to? Hakamei Manach, it's laying there on the ground. Ela Ema, Oyla Kedakoi, it answers normally. It doesn't have to go into the joints of the Baal Oiv. Ve'oyne b'Shabbos, and it answers the questions even on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Vaf shelazu shol transparnus as a bekiva. Transparnus was a terrible Rasha. He was the one who ultimately got Rekiva executed, and he was the one that plowed Yerushalayim after the Churban Abayis. And he asked him, Amalo yomayoyim miyomayim. Why is Shabbos Shabbos? So the way the Ben Yoyod explains the Gemara's question, and the Chasam Sofer picks up on this question, on this explanation, is that why punk Shabbos Yom HaShvi'i is the reason, is the day that Klal Yisrael observes Shabbos? Why don't you observe your day of rest, the same day of rest that all the other people of the world use, Friday or Sunday? For as the Chasam Sofer explains, In the Aseres HaDibros, in the two Aseres HaDibros, two different reasons are given for Shabbos. In the Luchos HaRishonis it says, Kishes Hashem Asa Hashem as Hashemayim V'Sa'aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days, V'Yom HaShvi Shovas V'Yinofash. In the Luchos Shnius it says, V'Zachartu Ki Ever Yisrael V'Eretz Mitzrayim. The reason for Shabbos is because you were a slave. And as the Mefarsh, as the Medrash explains, that when Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu approached Paroi, and they were originally working 7 days a week. And Moshe Rabbeinu approached Paroi and says that that's an untenable situation, that people should work all of the time. You need to give them 1 day a week off. So Paroi said, you know, you're right. And Moshe told him that the day you should give them off is Shabbos. That's why we say the tefillahs on Shabbos. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi. The Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get them Shabbos off. So if the reason said transparency of Russia to Bekiva is because we need a day off, why must it be Shabbos? Amaloi, or Magivra Magivrin. Why are you different from everyone else? Amaloi, so it says the Mari Tzavi. Because that's what Hashem wants. That's what my master, you know, not what Hashem wants, but my master, Hadridus wants. So he said, so Bekiva responded, Shabbos Nami, the same things with Shabbos, the Marit Sivi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Shabbos. And as the Mashal explains, there were three parts to Terence Barnes' question. First question was, one part was, how do we know that Shabbos was the day that Hashem rested from creating the world? Number two question is, how do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to continue not working on the day of Shabbos? And the third question is, how do we know that even Lasod Lavoi, after Mashiach comes, we will continue having to observe Shabbos? So now, again, following the Pshat of the Mashal, the Gemara gives answers to each question. Amalei, hach kamin alach. Where Transpona said to Rekiva, Mi yeim dahed the Shabbos. How do you know that a Shabbos was the day that a Kodesh Baruch Hu rested? Amalei, Nahar Sabachin Yechiach. Nahar Sabachin is a river that flows turbulently the entire week, and it's Shabbos rests. So it's a proof that from when a Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, Shabbos is the day of the rest. Bal oiv Yechiach. The proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to want the world to rest on Shabbos is from the Baal Oiv, because it's a day that there's no melacha, and that's why even the neshamas in the Olam HaEmes rest. And the proof that it will be lost of love that way is Kivish L'Aviv Yechiach, the grave of your father is the proof, Shein Ma'al Oshim Shabbos. It doesn't give off smoke on Shabbos. That means even Gehenim doesn't work on Shabbos. Therefore your father who's in Gehenim will not have a problem, doesn't have Gehenim on Shabbos. Amalei, to which Tzpurnas Rav said, Bezisa, you disgraced my father, Baishta, you embarrassed the Kolosai by saying this about him. The Ben Yoyada has a different way of explaining these three words. He said, what Rabbi Kiva said, Magover Megovrin, what makes you different? He said, Baishta, you embarrassed me. But by saying, Oiv Yechiach, he said, but Zisa goes on the first question, you disgraced me by saying, what makes you different than everyone else? Baishta, you embarrassed me by giving me the answer from the Baal Oiv, because you gave me an answer that's irrefutable, and Kolosa, you insulted me by saying that my father is in Gehenim. Actually, from here we see that Gehenim is not an operation on Shabbos. The Mefarshim ask, for whom is it not an operation for Shabbos? It's clearly a person like Transpornus, who's a goy, who didn't have to keep Shabbos, is not in Gehenim on Shabbos. The question that comes up is, if Rachman Slander was a Jew, who was a Mechalel Shabbos, so in this world, he didn't keep Shabbos, is he still not going to be in Gehenim on Shabbos? Or is even he off the hook on Shabbos because Gehenim is completely closed? Well, one thing is very interesting that Mefarshim do say. They say clearly for most people, Shabbos Gehenim is not open, and therefore there's a point in prolonging Shabbos, because the longer we keep Shabbos, the longer these people will stay out of Gehenim. And that's why the minig is to say by Ma'ariv on Matzah Shabbos, V'hinayim and Atakadosh, or Shabbosayser. All of it is to prolong the Ma'ariv on Matzah Shabbos, to prolong and delay the opening of Gehenim. Shoyel Oif, the Gemara says, Shoyel Oif, Hanadarish Alamaisim. Says the Gemara, Darish Lamaisim, Kretaniv, Darish Lamaisim, Zer Ma'ariv Atzmai, V'holoch, for lama basic forest, darshal meisim, somebody doesn't eat and goes to the cemetery, kidei shetisha lov ruach tumah, in order that ruach tumah should be on him. Ukshagia, kshay magia, Rabbi Kiva, kshay Rabbi Kiva magia lamikrazeh, Rabbi Kiva would learn this pasuk, kai bachi would cry. Marv atzmai, kidei shetisha lov ruach tumah. If somebody starves himself, just that tumah should come on him, shayra lov ruach tumah, he accomplishes such hamarv atzma kitesh tusher lov ruach tahara. Somebody doesn't eat so that ruach tahara should come on him. Alachas v'kama v'kama. So Rashi explains, because as I said earlier in the shir, we have a rule that midah toiva is merubim and midah peronius. So if by doing it for the wrong purpose the ruach tuma comes, certainly so it will be for the ruach tahara. The yad rama disagrees with Rashi. So, because he says the concept of midah toivah merubah midah peronius is said regarding, he says it's said regarding schar v'oynish. Here we're not talking about schar v'oynish. So therefore his explanation of the Gemara is that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much quicker, habol tamei poischem loy, habol tar mesayin loy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives much more help to somebody who wants to do the right thing. So if somebody here wants to chas v'sholem bring upon himself the ruach tuma, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the ability. Certainly if somebody wants to bring upon himself the ruach tahara, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do everything to help? And in fact, I saw from Nimrei Emes that this is the basis for our actions on Yom Kippur. That on Yom Kippur we don't eat. Why don't we eat on Yom Kippur? Because it's somebody's marv atzmai kidei shetishalov ruach tahara. So ask the marva esa. So if so, why doesn't it work? If somebody doesn't eat for bring ruach tahara, shevenaseinu gar meloyinu. Our various caused the shnemar kavenaseichem hayim avdilin beinil lebein alakechem. Your averus separate us. The person that's a barrier from us being able to attain the madregas. Oma Rava, Ibar Tzadik Bar Alma. If Tzadikim would want to create a world, Shnemar Kiim Avneseichem Hayim Avdilim. It's only the sins that prevent us from being able to accomplish this. Says the Gemara, Rava Bar Gavra. Rava indeed created a person, Shadur L'Kamei Reb Zeira, and he sent it to Reb Zeira. Have a kamishtaba day, and Reb Zeira was speaking to this person, for I have a kamahadale, and this person that he created didn't respond. Amalei min chavrayat, your creation of one of my colleagues, hadal afra, go back to your dust. And the farshim say, why couldn't he speak? Because as we know, it says, v'tiya adam l'nefesh chaya ruach memalala, the neshama is what gives us the ability to speak. And even if a person has the ability to create a person, he doesn't have the ability to create a neshama. Nobody has that ability besides Alukai neshama shenasatabi. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could put in us a neshama. Says the Gemara of Chanina, Rav Oishi Aviyasvi Kamal Shapsa. Rav Chanina and Rav Oishi would sit every Friday for Aski B'Sefi Yitzira, and they would learn the Sefi Yitzira as one of the Sifrei Kabbalah, or Mivrlu Igla Tulsa, and they would create Igla Tulsa V'Achlilei. So again, this is somewhat of a difficult Gemara to understand. The way the Mefarshim explain it is that on Friday, which is the day that behemoths were created, so it's a day that's easier for animals to be created, and especially they didn't have what to eat. L'kavod Shabbos, and there's a mitzvah to eat meat on Shabbos, so by sitting and learning the Sefer Yetzirah, they created an Igla Tilsa. The Mefarshim give a number of explanations of Igla Tilsa. Either Igla Tilsa is a calf that's a third grown, is when it's the best. Another pshat, Igla Tilsa is the third calf born to its mother. Again, it's the best animal. So Mefarshim say With this Gemara, we could understand a very famous question. The Pasuk says that when Avraham Avinu greeted the guests, the Malachim, he gave them Uben Abaka Asha'asa, he gave them meat, and he also gave them Chema V'chalav, he gave them milk and butter. And the Mepharshim will ask, what about the problem of Basar V'chalav? The Mepharshim say, if you look in the Pasuk says the words, Uben Habakar Asher Asa. Ben Habakar Asher Asa means that he created that calf. It wasn't a calf that was normally born, naturally born. And a calf that's not naturally born, the din of Basar V'chalav doesn't apply to. It was the same type of calf as our Gemara identifies. Tana Bara Ma'ainin. What is Ma'ainin? Rav Shimon Oimer Zeh Mavish Shivim Mini Zochal Ayin. He takes seven different kinds of male semen over his eyes. That somebody creates an illusion. We're going to speak more about this on Daf Samach Zayin. Kivayma Zamachashiv Ita Vishaz. Somebody that comes up with specific times. Vayma Hayoyim Yafalot says, this day is a good day to go out on a trip. Lamacha Yafalikach, tomorrow is a good day to buy something. Lamude Erev Shviyas Chitin Yafis. The year before the Shemitah year has good wheat. Ekure kidneys, miyos ras, uprooting legumes, prevent them from becoming spoiled. That's how Rashi learns. The Yad Raman says different pshat, because that has nothing to do with the time. Therefore, he says any year in which the legumes are uprooted before they ripen is a bad year. Tana Bara Menachesh. If somebody says the bread fell out of somebody's mouth, his stick fell from his hand, if his son calls from behind him, a raven calls to him, a deer crossed his path, if a snake approached him on the right side, or a fox approach them on the left side, don't begin tax collecting with me, I'm not the first person to start with, shachrasi, I don't want to pay my debts first thing in the morning, or Rosh Chodeshi, I don't want to pay my debts on the first day of the month, Matzah Shabbosu, or I don't want to begin work, I don't want to pay my debt at the beginning of the week, it's a bad sign for the week. Turn our bottom, they make superstitions with a weasel, ba'ifis with birds, ba'dogim with fish, all different types of movements they say are proof. All of that is superstition and it's asur. There is a machlokes rishonim. The Shilti Gebairim quotes a Riaz, the Pesach Tshuva brings down this Shilti Gebairim, that says that if you don't say it, you only think these things, then it's not asur. Many Rishonim, Tosfos, Pesach Tshuva quotes Tosfos, disagrees, and they say that all of it is considered asur, even if you don't say it explicitly. Furthermore, Al Gemara clearly indicates that if you say that tying something to a time is asur, says, but we know that there are different minhagim. For example, a very famous minhag people have is not to make a wedding at the end of the month. Why is that not considered the Isser of Loisayinu? So Mepharshim explain, if doing something at a specific time because of a good sign, that's not Usser. The only thing that's Usser is saying something is a proof for something. That is what's Usser. But just saying that there are times that are more Mazeldig or less Mazeldig is not considered Usser. Furthermore, the Rishonim already say that in a situation that it makes sense what he's saying, then there is no Isser of Loisnachshav Loisayinu. There's also an interesting Machlokes Rishonim. The opinion of the Rambam is that included in this is the study of astrology. Astrology, he says, is nonsense and is also under the category of Loisnachshav. The Nemuka Yosef disagrees, but even if you follow the opinion of the Nemuka Yosef, the Ramah and all the Rishonim say that this apostolic in the Torah of Tomim Tiyah and Meshem Elokecha, that we have to put trust in Hashem and not in anything else. And therefore, says the Rama, according to all the opinions of the Rishonim, we should not follow any of these astrology or horoscope, Chas v'Shalom. There's an obligation of Tamim Tiyah and Hashem Alekecha that we have to that HaKadosh Baruch put our trust in Hashem. Amun and Bitochen is the best advice that anyone could ever follow.